Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. This is the number one daily radio show for realtors looking for a no BS, authentic, real-time coaching experience. What's really working in today's market, how to generate more leads, make more money, and have more time for what you love in your life. And now your hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back. I have a question for you. Agents, do you dream of dominating the luxury real estate market? What we're going to be doing today is giving you the five steps, really our success code for dominating the, you know, really I'd say the luxury market. And Julie, let's start out by defining what we mean by luxury market, because, you know, different people have stated different things. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll agree, for the sake of today's podcast, it's a multiple of maybe 2 or 3x what the average sale price is in a particular market. Mm-hmm. So if your average sale price is $400,000, probably luxury is going to start around $1 million to $1.2 million. So keeping that in mind, I also want to challenge all of you, even if you're not in a luxury market, to open your mind to the fact that you could be after you've listened to these 5 points. Now, remember, the points from today's podcast, all of our notes that Julie spends a ton of time creating, they're all available for you for free to download. And you can use these for educating your team, educating your, you know, agents in your brokerage, whatever it is. But you have to be a member, or rather a subscriber to our newsletter. And the good news for you is it doesn't cost anything. Just go to harrisrealestatedaily.com, harrisrealestatedaily.com, and then, or you can scroll down below in the show description, whether you're on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, doesn't matter, and just click the link to join harrisrealestatedaily.com. We are going to be increasing the content, increasing the value that we provide through for all of you with interviews and a lot of other exclusive content that's only going to be available on Harris Real Estate Daily. So make sure you subscribe. It costs you nothing. HarrisRealEstateDaily.com.
All right. So on to cracking the luxury code. 5 steps to success for all of our listeners. Now, I would encourage them, and I think you would agree with us, don't just choose one or two that resonate with you. Try to do the combination of all 5 of these steps, because it will work faster and more consistently.
Well, let me start out by asking you a question. Okay.
Sure.
So why is it that many agents, a majority of agents, have fantasies of becoming luxury agents but actually never do, if assuming they're in a market where there's luxury, you know, that they could be selling? In other words, mm-hmm. it's not like there isn't any luxury in your market, though I know that's true for some of you listening. Maybe, you know, it's 15 or 20 or 30 minutes away, but it is there to be had. So, Julie, what would be the big reasons you've learned from coaching for all these decades that agents wouldn't pursue the, frankly, bigger opportunity that luxury often represents?
Well, I think I would put it all into one bucket of general fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. They think it's going to be scarier or different, or those types of sellers want something very specific. Maybe they feel like they're a fish out of water, but all of it, for me, from a coaching standpoint, comes from fear of the unknown. And when I'm coaching agents on this, we have a very specific attack plan how to go about it that does more than these 5 points from the podcast, but I think that's the answer to the question.
Well, we did exactly what we're suggesting that some of these guys do as well, which is move from an average sale price market. You don't have to abandon it, obviously, to a more expensive market, because obviously the commission checks are larger. And oftentimes, here's what we learned once we actually did that. The sellers are the same. Their fears, their wants, their hopes, their dreams, their aspirations, they're all the same. And oftentimes they're easier to work with and more appreciative of the service you're providing, because they too are in a similar, for example, it might be a very successful doctor or a very mm-hmm. successful business owner. So what happens is you start focusing on the more expensive transactions, you're going to find more entrepreneurially minded folks who appreciate your hustle, assuming you have any, right? Who appreciate the fact that, you know, you're trying to build a business as they have or as they are. So don't convince yourself just because they're living in a home that maybe to you where you are today, mentally, emotionally, and financially, seems like it's just, you know, in the stratosphere. They were just like you most likely at some point. And also don't fall prey into believing that the upper end people come from like a different planet, right? They don't, maybe they went to different schools, but what difference does it make at the end of the day? What happens is that they will appreciate, even if you didn't come from an aristocratic background, like, you know, Julie and I did not, and still this luxury market where we started selling real estate towards the end of our real estate career totally embraced us. Why? Because we had hustle. because we were out there actually working. We were actually doing the things that the other luxury agents weren't doing. We were working on nights and weekends. We weren't taking a month off and going to Paris. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. That's what would happen in this market. We didn't play in all the golf tournaments and tennis tournaments. We were actually working with relo buyers, working with getting their houses positioned. And ultimately, that's what these luxury buyers are really going to be attracted to about you, is the fact that you remind them of the way they were when they were starting on their, you know, career path.
I 100% agree. And that, I think, made our ascension into that market that much more interesting and fun on some level, because you're around other business owners or entrepreneurs or salespeople. And I would add one more piece of color to that is, by the time most people are in their luxury home, they've probably bought and sold 3, 4, 5 times. So they actually have more of an appreciation for the hard work that agents put in, because they've seen the process. They've been through a multitude of different types of transactions.
And they have a ton of equity, and they're at least less likely to actually try to, you know, get you to cut your commission.
And they're also busier. They have things to do. They really appreciate you, you know, leading the way. So yeah, I think part of the thing that I want to do on this podcast is dispel the myth that it's so different. It's not that different.
I'm going to add this in too before Julie gets to her first point, is that what you will find a lot of times when you're working with truly upper end clients is counterintuitive to what is going on in the overall real estate zeitgeist. For example, luxury sellers, especially luxury sellers and buyers, don't want to hear about your team. They don't want to hear about how you're going to, in essence, delegate them. There's little nuanced differences. Like, I remember Jade Mills, we had her on the podcast. This was, I don't know, 2012, maybe 2011. Mm-hmm. It was a while ago. And she is still one of the best agents in the history of real estate. She's out in LA. And I asked her about her team, and she said, well, my team consists of my daughter and one other person.
Right.
And she's selling hundreds of millions of dollars worth of real estate per year. And we talked about that. And the essence of it was, why? Because those folks don't want to be dealing with Jade Mills. Robert Johnson in Greenwich, Connecticut, mm-hmm. same thing. You know, he had a $50 million home sale. He was dealing with everybody himself. He has an assistant who he delegates to, but he never delegates his clients to those folks. Why am I telling you this? Because it's actually, in virtually every way, easier to sell real estate in the upper end, more profitable, and obviously, frankly, oftentimes, hell of a lot more enjoyable.
It is. It's more interesting.
Yeah, and the folks will often have multiple transactions. They'll do. They'll send you lots of referrals. You're going to be selling a house taking a listing for a CEO of a company who is going to directly connect you with his 10 executives. All these types of things happen in the luxury realms.
Yeah, that's for sure. So let's jump into our points. Most of what we're talking about today is generating the lead in the first place. Number one, how do you do it? Network with high net worth individuals. Two micro points here. First one is attend upscale events, join exclusive clubs, and engage with luxury lifestyle communities. Be where the luxury clients are. Upgrade your center of influence systematically. And secondly, forge connections with those high net worth clients through personalized interactions, charity events, neighborhood celebrations, school events. These are all really good, easy opportunities to use your FORD, that's talking about family, occupation, recreation, and dreams, script to expand your relationships. You know, you and I just cut a little video from the gym, and you were talking about how just through conversation, even though we're not actively selling real estate, you had not one, not two, but three real estate leads simply by talking with friends at the gym. You know, I would say it's a pretty high-end gym. That goes to our point here. But don't make it so hard, guys. I think that's part of our point here.
But even if you didn't necessarily, like, exclusive clubs means expensive, just as what it is. Well, you don't have to join an exclusive club that's expensive, because guess what? There are also probably women's groups. Women run pretty much every neighborhood on planet Earth,
yeah.
Right? And so as a result, you can actually join the women's networking club. You can join the local PTA. You can do things that are going to be community-minded, where it's going to put you directly in front of potential, you know, real estate clients. And, you know, there's a question we should answer. Should you have to live in the neighborhood to basically sell in the neighborhood? Truthfully, it does give you an advantage to live in the neighborhood, because they're going to see you more frequently. And you might not even get an opportunity because you're sort of an interloper. You're not in the community. That is just the nature of how, you know, people naturally think tribal. So, yes, you should aspire to live in the neighborhood where you want to sell real estate. Another great way to get leads is, you know, Julie and I talked about this in the podcast a couple of days ago. Go after the expired listings, especially the expired listings that have been listed twice. And you're going to often see this in the upper end. And we're going to talk about that more in point number five. So, Julie, what's your next point, point number two?
All right, point number two, specialize and showcase your expertise. You are more likely to talk about what you know about. So develop expertise in specific luxury property types or prestigious neighborhoods. Tour luxury new construction, preview resale homes, and become highly educated on what you're trying to break into. Showcase your knowledge through high-quality marketing materials like professional photography, virtual tours. You can't expect to sell luxury homes using your MLS printout as a home brochure, for example.
I'll add in here, try to get the pre-listing pack and whatever propaganda, you know, that the sellers are receiving from your future or current competitors in the luxury market. See what they're doing at the level of which they're doing it, because then at least you have a baseline and you don't have to sort of, you know, find out the hard way that that market, for example, doesn't want you or doesn't care whether or not you have a 14-page home brochure that costs you $10,000 to produce. It just might not be necessary. So do your homework, and obviously it goes both ways. Maybe what you think is a really good marketing presentation for that seller isn't up to snuff with how competitive that particular market might actually be. So, you know, that's the get the information on your competitors. It always is going to save you a learning curve.
Yes. And how do you do that? You go to their open houses, you pick up their home brochures, you get into the brochure box. You know, you can preview property and do your research that way.
Well, we used to get it when we would go on listing presentations, and Julie and I, and y'all should do this too. You could tell I lived in Texas for a while.
Right? Y'all just snuck out.
Yeah, just snuck out. So, yeah, I mean, you and I would always try to position ourselves so we're the last people to go on listing appointments. Mm-hmm. Because I would say when we are in New Albany, since we weren't from New Albany, 99% of the time we were competing. Mm-hmm. And I know we're going to talk about this in a future point, but we were almost always competing with the same other two couples.
Yes.
Two married couples. And over time, you know, Julie and I figured, well, we're going to go last. And, you know, there's a way you go about going last where you're still going to, you know, the seller's still going to want to meet with you. You're not going to have to worry about one of the two other competitors basically snuffing out your opportunity to take the listing. The seller will actually, you know, honor what they said and interview you last. Well, when we would do that and we would win the listing, we would also ask for the seller to give us whatever they got from the competing agents. And that's how we quickly learned what they were doing.
Yes. I mean, it's competitive. Some people get a little bit feather ruffled when we're talking about stuff like this. But, you know, we're talking to you about breaking into the luxury market. And that is what it takes. You have to know how to compete, what you're up against, and make it appropriate. And to your point, sometimes the reason you're not doing it is because you've made up in your mind you're going to have to spend all this money and all these things. And that may or may not be true.
Well, if you're with eXp Realty, as Julie and I have been for 5 years, they have a great marketing department that actually has an incredible, and there's actually eXp Luxury too, where you can essentially use all their already completed luxury marketing material that's already been proven to work in some of the most expensive markets on planet Earth. So that would be the path you'd want to go. It always looks to see what your broker's doing, but here's the problem with that. If you're in, say, for example, you know, pick your luxury market, LA, and you're competing against, you know, five other agents that are also with the same broker, and everybody's showing up with the same, basically the same marketing stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, your picture of a dog is a golden retriever and theirs is a French bulldog. I mean, that'd be the only difference, right? That's not going to be enough to differentiate you. And, you know, you got to keep all these things in mind, because luxury sellers, unlike normal sellers, they demand that they want to see where their money is going, that they're paying you. And it really does matter to them. And let's just be honest, it's all ego, because at the end of the day, ooh, I know this is going to go against. This is going to be a big boo at this point. Yeah. But marketing doesn't do crap to sell real estate. The fact is price, condition, and location sells real estate. The reason that you do marketing, and anybody that's been in this business for more than 5 minutes knows this is true, especially in the listing side of things, is basically to appeal to the seller. Because a lot of times what you'll see, if the seller is trying to decide who they're going to list with, and let's say you know, in their minds, everyone's about equal, they're going to lean into the people that they think have the most energy and enthusiasm, but also have the best marketing jib jab. I mean, that unfortunately is the truth. So it does have to be, in some markets, a bit of a marketing arms race. But the benefit that all of you have, especially if you're going to follow our point number five from today, is you can oftentimes roll into these luxury markets where the competing agents have frankly become very non-competitive, and they're not doing anything
other than complacent.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They become complacent. And if you just have moderate marketing and moderate, you know, all the stuff, they're going to want to list with you because you're making an effort. So just, you know, be competitive. The most competitive amongst you, the most entrepreneurial amongst you, will really appreciate today's points and the opportunity that luxury provides for you. I'm going to say this too, Julie. What if you're living in a market where there is no luxury and you want to get in? And Julie and I are in this situation too when we were selling real estate. We actually, had we not moved out to New Albany, we were planning on, we're at least making plans to move out of state, to a market where it was a lot more expensive. And we had gone and visited some of these states. We went and visited Seattle. We visited Miami. We actually went down to the Caribbean and looked into what
island? Cayman.
Cayman, yeah. We are looking around for places where, frankly, the sale price was, you know, in our case, 10x or hell, even more than that, 20x.
Well, I mean, honestly, once you develop the basic skills, you know how to present, you're using scripts, you've got the pattern down, you can objection handle, and then you have that light bulb go off. It seems like about the same amount of work. Maybe it would be interesting to double, triple, or 10x the average sale price.
Well, luxury, Julie, you know, let's debate it if you don't agree, is easier than normal sale price stuff.
I think once you have a certain level of skill, it's easier.
Yeah.
I think if you haven't done, you know, three or four transactions, it might not be as easy. But once you've got some level of experience, I would agree with that.
But the work part of selling luxury is on the relationships part in winning the listing, yes, in the first place, just focusing on sellers. Mm-hmm. Because thereafter, it's pretty much not going to be, I mean, there are going to be in older neighborhoods. I'm thinking of Rob up in, you know, Greenwich. I mean, obviously those older homes are going to have their own sets of challenges. But for the most part, you're going to be dealing with, frankly, well-off buyers and well-off sellers, and they're not going to let themselves, you know, lose a deal over a $300 couch.
That's definitely true. And in that sense, I would say it absolutely is easier. You also have a large amount of cash, all cash deals, or very sizable down payments.
Financing isn't an issue.
Financing really isn't even discussed. That's not a place where you're going to talk about interest rates that much. So yes, I think there are a lot of ways that it's easier.
So if they wanted to join us at eXp Realty, if that's something that you're interested in, which all of you should be looking into joining eXp Realty, at least know what the options are. You know, everyone should be looking for a broker upgrade, especially brokers. If you're a broker, a medium size or a large broker or a team even, let's have a conversation. And chances are the math, not only does the math make sense, but the community of like-minded people that are focusing on essentially the opportunities that are only available in a market like this, that's what you're going to discover at eXp. It's one of the best business decisions Julie and I have ever made, and I'm sure you'll feel the same way. So there's two ways for us to have that conversation. If you're just getting started, scroll down below and click the link to learn more about our eXp Realty group, and you can read about all the things that we offer in addition to, on top of what eXp offers. And again, we're welcoming obviously all agents, new agents, middle-end agents, experienced brokers, and everything else. Do check that out, and let's do have a conversation about being frankly partnering at eXp Realty. Or if you're ready to land the plane or you're ready to have a serious conversation, text me directly at 512-758-0206. Again, 512-758-0206. My phone number is down below, whether you're on YouTube, you know, iTunes, Stitcher. But yes, this is a conversation every single one of you should consider having, and we would love the opportunity to earn the right to be your eXp Realty sponsors.
All right, point number three, partner with luxury service providers. And there's three mini points here. First one is collaborate with luxury service providers like interior designers, stagers, wealth managers, and concierge services. That can also be tax attorneys and advisors, people like this. One of my coaching clients has a really great relationship with a high-end stager. And what they've discovered is sometimes people will call a stager first before they call the listing agent, and so they share business.
All right, so here's some advanced tips. If you're in LA, if you're in New York, now really Miami, you're also going to want to, Julie has wealth managers on her list, but there's a thing called business managers, and a business manager essentially runs, you know, let's just use an example of an athlete's life financially. He'll take care of all aspects of their money. But also the interesting thing is there's a lot of folks that are business managers that are specializing in specific industries. For example, mm-hmm. there's business managers in LA that one of our coaching clients will network with that say specializes in dentists or specializes in chiropractors or specializes in, you know, people that own restaurants or whatever. So business management started out primarily to work alongside talent, you know, talent agents mm-hmm. in the entertainment business, but it's now expanded greatly. So a lot of people are wanting to completely delegate all aspects of their, you know, financial management, from paying bills to, you know, some of these business managers get into the weeds and will even help them hire, you know, household staff and arrange travel and sure. all this stuff.
Great connections to have.
They are. And the business managers are, I would say, every single time better contacts than the talent agents. Mm-hmm. Of all the folks in LA that sell all the expensive real estate that we've ever coached in our business and also personally, I can think on one hand the amount of business they got from agents versus the amount of business they got from the business managers. Mm-hmm. And the business managers are the great. So like I'll give you a real, you know, I won't use any names, but a business manager will get a, you know, have a client who wants to buy a house. And let's just say this is a very famous person. Well, what the business manager will actually do is the business manager will then hire the buyer's agent and then go and select the house for the client. And then oftentimes, and I've seen this happen a lot of times, especially for the clients that might be based in New York and they're looking for places in LA. So the business manager is going to the extent of weeding out all the things that, you know, they know their client won't want. And then the buyer's agent oftentimes won't even ever know who the actual client is, like ever. They're signing NDAs, they're doing all this, you know, stuff, so they can't go and talk about their selling a house for Tom Cruise or whatever, or helping, you know, whoever buy a property, right? That's how the business is done when you're dealing with business managers. And all it takes to get that business, it's you have to network with them. It's what Julie's first point was. You have to get to know them socially.
Go where they are.
Go where they are. And there's different classes. So you're going to see in the business management, wealth management, and all these other types of personal service providers for rich people, basically, you're going to see that there's the group that deals with the very, very top tier business owners, you know, and celebrities are not the same people that are business managers for, say, someone that owns a bunch of laundromats, okay? Mm-hmm. So you're going to not just assume all business managers are the same, just like there's agents that specialize in lands and, you know, mobile homes, and there's agents that specialize in, you know, really high-end real estate. So do, you know, set your sights appropriately so you're working with someone that, you know, it's going to have the caliber of clients you want to work with personally.
Well, the cool thing about that is you don't need that many of them to start lifting your business off the ground, because typically one relationship leads to the next, leads to the next.
Well, what is it when you have the attorney takes over the sale of the property? I always forget that stupid name.
You mean probate?
Probate. Thank you. I have this mental blocker on the word probate. It's so okay. Weird. I've had that forever. But probate attorneys, though, they're all probate attorneys that specialize in luxury real estate. They're probate attorneys mm-hmm. that specialize in, you know, liquidating really expensive properties. And I can give you examples from coaching clients of the ones that weren't under NDA. But I'll just share with you guys that some of these cases, you'll have a really famous person pass away, then all of a sudden one of my coaching clients will get a call from, it might be from the probate attorney, it might be from the business manager, and they're going and previewing these properties. And they will only figure out who the properties used to belong to or belong to now based on maybe the tchotchkes that they find in the house. I really, really am tempted to tell you about one that I was really, that is rattling around in my brain right now, but I'm not going to do it because he told me not to, so I won't. But let me just, I'm not even going to say that.
Don't do it. Okay.
Well, oh, hold on. I'll give you a clue. Sequin jumpsuit.
Now their minds are wondering.
Yeah.
Back to point number three. Access exclusive opportunities in the luxury home market through strategic alliances. That's what we've been talking about. But also through some of your clubs, like yacht clubs, art galleries, whatever's appropriate in your town regarding a luxury lifestyle. Get to know people that are in that world. That's, you know, I think that's a fun part of it.
So I have a coaching client mm-hmm. and this guy sells real estate and does mortgage loans mm-hmm. and he loves Ferraris. Mm-hmm. Remember, he's the one that bought me that really nice Ferrari book.
Oh yeah.
That Enzo Ferrari book. Cool. Yeah. And so he will participate in every car event that's local to him. And you guys are car nerds. If, you know, these are always, they're prolific all over, especially the upper end areas. They're going to be cars and coffee. They're going to be, you know, Ferrari Club of America, Porsche Club of America, whatever is appropriate in your particular market. But then go to those events and get to know other people. And the amazing thing about, you know, going to those types of events is you could be talking to somebody and they're standing next to their, you know, $60 million 1963 Ferrari GTO. And you're just talking with them, not even really knowing that's the owner of the car, just having this nice conversation about whatever it is that you're both interested in. And then you later realize you're talking to somebody who's a multi-billionaire, because there's certain hobbies bring everybody together and drop all of the social, perceived social boundaries. Now, if you'd met that person on the street, they probably would have ignored you, or at least not given you that level of interaction. But that's the reason that when you're conversing with people, and they're participating in their hobbies and you're participating in the same hobbies, there's some sort of spiritual connection that's undeniable.
For sure. I mean, that worked for me in the music world. It works for you in the car world. It's just finding commonality and easy things to talk about.
But that's not necessarily true if you're going to networking events, because networking events, everyone's basically flavor. Sniffing, right? They're mm-hmm. all looking out for something.
Yep.
But when you're doing the hobby end of things, that's when now, if you don't have any hobbies, stop being boring and develop some hobbies. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, get into coaching. We can help you with that. All right. So number four, leverage digital marketing and social media. Utilize digital marketing strategies to reach affluent buyers and sellers. You can video beautiful listings, even if they're not yours, just get permission, and discuss why those homes are so special. Highlight a luxury builder or a new development or building. What are the high-end amenities? You can do all that Ideally, it's your listing, but it doesn't have to be. You can create visually stunning content that showcases luxury properties and lifestyle amenities. So you may need to upgrade your media resources, but there's lots of ways to do that.
Now, I'm going to share with you guys some suggestions on this. Many of the younger folk will already know this, but most upper-end neighborhoods are going to have, I would say, for the most part, really robust Instagram pages or multiple Instagram pages. So they're going to have, you know, there might be one for the women's group. There might be one for this, one for that, one for the other thing. Join them all. Yeah, but do not go in there and try to poach clients, or do not go in there and try to basically spam or market. Go in there and look to see what they're sharing with each other, who's interacting with what, and then slowly and strategically go in there and start, you know, making friends with folks and then going to the events, and then you're going to connect the offline and the online. Mm-hmm. Now, this is especially important for folks that are, I would say, 45 and younger.
Okay.
45 and younger, maybe even 40 and younger. There's a line of delineation that exists for people maybe 45 and older between online and offline.
Sure.
That does not exist with younger people.
That's definitely true.
It's all blended. Mm-hmm. They don't see any, there's no difference,
yeah.
Right?
Nope.
So you got to be considerate of that. And guess what? Those are going to be a lot of the folks that are moving up to buying more luxury, more expensive homes. And so go on social, you know, definitely stalk them a little bit, see what they're up to, see who their other friends are, and start connecting with their other friends. And they're going to want to, they'll trust you more when they see that you're friends with 10 of their friends and they say, and they saw you at a social event. Oh, then you're, they realize you're a real estate agent. Guess what? You're now their real estate agent.
Well, that's true, especially when you can now and then contribute something of value, something interesting. I'm thinking about like WhatsApp groups and stuff like that, where you can bring, I always tell coaching clients, be yourself first. Use some of the social media more on a fact-finding mission, less on a prospecting, fishing kind of mission, and then bounce that information to the live meetups and clubs and charity events and all that kind of
stuff.
Well,
you did this recently. You went, you took, this is funny. So Zoe went to a manners class, right? And it was at a ridiculously amazing mansion, basically. And Julie was able to, she didn't know this gal. She didn't know the host. So she went on Instagram and did a little, you know, and turns out she's friends with like all this lady's best friends, and how their paths never crossed before is weird. But so now Julie's got a great friend, and little Zoe slowly and I'd say painfully learning manners.
Hopefully, we'll see. We survived the first class. All right. Yes. But that's a good example, you know, doing the research online and then taking it in real.
But it does. It is important that you remember that it's the proactive being reinforced by the passive. So in these examples, you're going to, most luxury folks are going to get a lot of their business from basically personal and social networking. So don't, like, for example, the social media won't replace the personal social networking.
No.
But here's the important thing. If you don't want to do the social media, which you need to get all of you need to get over not wanting to do it, you know, whatever level you're willing to do it. But if you don't want to do it and you do the personal direct social actual, you know, IRL in real life, you know, connecting with people, networking, it makes the social media aspect optional, because a lot of upper end people, absolutely positively, and these are the very upper end folks, they have no presence on social media.
Some of them very much on purpose.
100% on purpose. It's for security reasons,
yes,
mostly.
Mm-hmm.
So just tune your frequency into basically what the market expects. But here's the sort of the best combination. Do the IRL, you know, belly to belly, face to face, getting to know people, all those little, hopefully we've, you know, helped a lot of you flips and switches in the realization that actually working in real estate is not as hard as you thought. As not the, you know, huge, you know, it's not a huge walled garden. It's actually fairly easy to get into. Mm-hmm. And once you're there, then you do the direct real life networking, and then you reinforce it with your social media. You reinforce it by, you know, befriending them on all the, you know, primarily Instagram. That's what it seems like most upper end people really like. And like Julie said, in certain markets, WhatsApp's really popular as well. I would be careful of investing anything at all anymore, as Julie and I have been telling you for 4 years, into TikTok. And I'm also going to give you guys another one. And what is it called? If there's another social app, actually, I'll tell you because I have it on my phone. You guys should probably not be spending any more time on Telegram.
Telegram
is most likely going to go the way of Instagram. I'm sorry, going to most likely go the way of TikTok and become somehow illegal in the United States because it's owned by a guy who is Russian.
Right.
Yeah. So just keep these things in mind. You know, if you're going to be investing in platforms, Instagram probably is the safe place. Facebook, obviously, is really appealing to older people primarily. Mm-hmm. But yeah, tune your tuning fork accordingly. But also remember, you cannot just lean into social media expecting that somehow that's going to be as powerful as doing real life events. It's not even close.
No, very well put. All right, last but not least, one of my favorites, foreshadowed by yesterday's podcast. Number five, prospect high-end expired listings. This is actually the fastest and most efficient way to take your first expensive listing. There are lots of advantages to this approach. The seller's go-to agent has just failed to sell the home. You know what the wrong price is, maybe, depending on the situation, because it's been market tested. You know what the feedback's been and what to remedy. The seller's more motivated, the seller's more coachable, and there's many more aspects to this that are an advantage.
So I want to drill down on this.
Yes.
If you're in an upper end market where all the agents are from the same brokerage, that's going to work against you for sure. Just, it is a fact. What sellers are going to do is they're going to interview, especially if it's an expired and they've already listed with their center of influence past client agent that they knew from playing tennis, right? That agent fails. Now they're going to really be careful in who they're going to try to list their house with. They're going to interview someone from eXp Realty. They're going to interview someone from Compass. They're going to interview someone from REMAX. So when Julie and I went out to New Albany, we were REMAX agents, and the other agents there were from competing brokerages, and we would get called out on listing appointments, and the seller would specifically say, because we were what they perceived to be the number one, or we were what they perceived to be the number one REMAX agents in their particular market, and they knew what REMAX was. Now, this was back when the broker's brand actually mattered more than it does now. Truthfully now, the broker's brand doesn't mean jack to most sellers. Some of you guys will argue with me on that point. Here's the proof of it. I'll call the last five people that you close transactions with, and I'll ask them what broker you're with, and I guarantee you none of them are going to know the name. They do. Agents, or rather buyers and sellers, choose who they're going to use as their agent based on that person, not the broker they're affiliated with. That really, I think, significantly changed in the last 10 or 15 years.
Definitely.
But here's the thing to keep in mind. So you're going to have to establish yourself as somebody who is a reliable source of, you know, information. You're going to have to prove yourself to be, you know, somebody that they can actually count on to get their home sold. Seems obvious, right? Now, when you're hunting expires especially, you're going to notice that what happens is there's a go-to agent in the marketplace that usually has a majority of the market share, double-digit market share for sure. And then there's almost always two other agents that have the essentially the identical market share. Then there's everybody else. So in other words, when you go to an upper-end market, there's going to be a Big Bob. And Big Bob is the go-to who you list your house with. Then there's going to be Sally and there's going to be Steve. And Sally and Steve basically are the ones that are competing with each other. But what happens in a market like what we're experiencing now is the sellers will have maybe started out by listing with Big Bob. And maybe they wouldn't have gone to, they'll, you know, if Big Bob doesn't get it sold or if Big Bob turns out to be a big jerk, then what they're going to do is they're going to list with who they perceive to be, you know, better between Sally and Steve. And if those two fail, then they're going to be really receptive for to list with somebody who's completely out of the market. That's what Julie and I did. In our particular market where we cracked into the New Albany Country Club area, a lot of the sellers had listed with all the agents that they'd perceived to be the inbred, maybe I shouldn't have said it that way, but it's kind of true.
Yeah.
You know, the embedded.
Embedded.
Yes.
Inbred.
They could embedded. Have been inbred.
Could, maybe both.
Yeah,
I don't
possible.
Know. Possible. That was a problem. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's the reason they didn't get the house sold.
But they went through the, you know, kind of the go-to agents that they saw in other people's signs. And, you know, that's another point is there is more of the upper end in some markets. I'm thinking about like Austin, if you're looking at even over a million, there's a ton of homes to choose from, and there's a lot of new construction. So some of these homes will actually expire, not just once, but twice or three times. That's a great opportunity for somebody who is up and coming and maybe doesn't have a big name yet to break into that, because now they can say, well, you know, you tried those out. Let's take a different approach. And you have that opportunity. So
and soon as you list one expired, this is the power of expired, again, especially in upper ends. Soon as your sign goes in the yard, assuming the neighborhood allows for signs, and then that sign turns to sold, every other seller and future seller is going to see that you did something that Big Bob, Sally, and Steve couldn't get done. And I promise you, you're going to start getting call outs. You're going to get an opportunity to list that property. Immediately, you're going to be competing against, you know, Big Bob, who everyone thought could never be dethroned because you did something he couldn't do. Now, if you do that two or three times in a particular upper end market, especially where, you know, the incumbents basically failed to sell their home and you go in there and get it failed, or you go in there and get it sold rather, you're going to see more opportunity come your way than you can possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. Because here's what Julie and I discovered, and a lot of our other coaching clients discovered this as well. The sellers actually have a bit of disdain with the agents in their marketplace, the options that they're given. Because a lot of times upper-end agents, God bless all of you who are upper-end agents, but this is the truth. Sellers perceive you guys as being a little bit complacent, a little bit lazy, a little bit entitled. And if you are essentially an upper-end agent and you're finding yourself losing your edge, you're losing listings to new agents, I'm telling you now, listen to what we just said. That's the reason why. You're going to have to go back and act as if you had the, you know, new agent mindset, that you're going to be doing whatever it takes to convince that seller, you know, the whole thing. You're going to have energy and enthusiasm. You're going to have to start returning your calls on time. You're going to have to start showing the property more yourself. You're actually going to have to start re-earning that, the right to be a luxury agent, listing agent. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And we have many, many examples of our own coaching clients who have taken this five-part attack plan. They have led with prospecting expireds and backed it up with the rest.
Right.
Lots of examples of that. And I also can think of times that we observed other agents, you know, in our market, other coaching clients have told us about, hey, this person, I'll never forget, one of my coaching clients in Austin observed an agent who moved in from California who knew how to deploy this plan and quickly started listing the high-end
stuff.
Well,
tell the story. It's a story.
I'm trying to remember all of the details.
Well, I'll tell you what I remember. Yeah. You and I were on a walk, of course.
Of course.
And we got a panic phone call from one of your coaching clients.
Yep.
What was her first name?
Anna, I believe.
Anna. Oh, I remember her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very amazing agent.
Very professional, very experienced.
And she was, she sold very expensive real estate in Austin on Lake Austin, if I remember correctly.
A lot of that, yep.
Yeah, and the deep water docks and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So she called Julie and she had to have, you know, this lady from California, remember that, is going and door knocking in my market because you put it on speakerphone. Remember this?
Yeah, not just calling, but door knocking. And in the neighborhood she was in, I think it was like 5 to 12 million.
Yep.
So,
and the agent from California had, if I remember correctly, one or two real buyers for that particular market.
That's right.
And so she was door knocking, looking for obviously listings to, you know, home for her clients. Well, the sellers forgot all sense of loyalty to Anna.
Yep.
And they ended up basically, that gal, the door knocking, you know, agent who just showed
the
up
infiltrator.
Yesterday, the infiltrator, as Anna saw her, she ends up taking listings. She ends up selling houses in within like 60 days. Now she's having to essentially, Anna's now having to compete with this new agent, essentially. And if I remember correctly, wasn't that literally the gal from California literally a new agent?
I think she was. I think, well, newer anyway. And in addition to that, new to Austin. So, you know, that's somebody who was highly motivated. They had a plan. They deployed it. And it was working. So, and that's not the only example we have of this. It's such a great attack plan.
The seller didn't ask how long you've been in real estate. The seller didn't ask.
No, the seller asked, tell me more about your buyer.
Exactly. So she was showing up at the seller's door with something the seller wanted. The seller's not going to pre-qualify, you know, this gal for whether or not she's, you know, a good listing agent. They're going to be like, okay, I have this house to sell, or I'm thinking about selling it in the next 6 months. You've got a buyer. You guys understanding how if you're just a little bit more strategic, and frankly, in a lot of cases, a lot more aggressive, you're going to essentially experience things in real estate you can only imagine. I mean, you can only dream of. Imagine yourself doing the work that we just described to you. It's simple.
It is simple. And the reward is really good, too.
Yes, exactly.
You know, none of what we talked about had the words be a secret agent in it. None of this will work if you're unwilling to do some of the steps that are virtually all of the steps that we talked about. The good news is when you do that, especially that last one where you bounce off of your expireds, you just need one really great victory, and then that will lead to the next one and the next one. So you now have an action plan. If you want to have more accountability, if you want to be able to ask questions as you go, then it's time to get involved in coaching.
And right. And so as far as that goes, there's, you know, many paths forward with us. If you're wanting to discuss upper end, if you're a luxury agent, you definitely should be considering our, you know, frankly, our elite coaching program. And if you're wanting to learn more about that, text me directly at 512-758-0206. 512-758-0206. Oh, Julie, I had someone ask me. Julie and I have, you know, been coaching and training for, you know, years, right? 22, 23 years. And even to this day, we obviously will coach anybody regardless of what their brokerage affiliation is. Some people are thinking we only coach people at eXp.
Nope.
That's absolutely not true. We are, you know, as far as when it comes to coaching, we're broker agnostic. If you want to have a conversation, don't be fearful because Julie and I are with eXp. Frankly, as a coaching client, you won't hear us much talk about eXp because we're going to focus on what you want to focus
on.
That's
right. It's all about you.
Exactly. That's what coaches do, or at least good ones.
Exactly.
In the meantime, you guys have a fantastic day. We'll talk with you on the show tomorrow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.